Greetings, salutations, and welcome to the Plains Talkers Podcast, the show by casuals for casuals. I'm your host, Will Benson, joined as always by my, hey, I know more about modern than you ever could, co-host, Aramis Perez. Aramis, how are you tonight, sir?
First of all, that statement is questionable at best. Second of all, before the show, I went to the tool shed, got a hammer, hit a bunch of stuff, but not the stuff you're thinking about.
What?
We'll talk about it.
I do not understand what you mean.
The band hammer.
I'm very lost. Oh, the band hammer. Okay, I was like, I didn't know where to go with that.
The airplane totally sound going over your head.
Yeah, really. I think it went over everybody's head. I don't think there's anybody who's aware of what you were talking about. But it's okay.
It will all be made clear soon.
It will all be made clear. When? Soon.
Now-ish.
When will then be now? Soon.
Soon.
When? We just passed it. When? Just now. What? We're now. All right, so we're in our untapped phase, and as we like to do, the first thing we want to do is remind you guys that this episode and every episode of the Plains Talkers Podcast is sponsored by Kerwin's Game Store. Kerwin's Game Store is New York State's premier source for collectible card games, tabletop games, miniatures, comic books, retro video games, and toys. With their clean, open gaming areas available to everyone at no charge, Kerwin's provides a fun and inviting atmosphere for new and experienced gamers alike. With locations in Catskill, New York, and now on the second floor of the Poughkeepsie Galleria in Poughkeepsie, New York, Kerwin's Game Store is the best place in gaming. Don't forget, guys, you can get 5% off any online order when you use the promo code PlainsTalkers at checkout. So definitely do that. Maybe pre-order your Ikoria boxes there. Any number of things. So we also want to thank our patrons. We do want to thank our two $5 patrons. We have Ian and Walter. Both of them support the show at the $5 level. We're getting together with Walter at some point this or next week. Aramis, he wants to do that whole draft play thingy with you. So. Okay. Game on. We'll get that engineered. And Ian, we're still waiting on a deck list from you, buddy. Feel free to send that out to us. But we want to be able to get that stream started as well. So, but with that, we are in our untap phase, and we all know what that means. I'm going to untap, and tonight is a lovely Sam Adams Cold Snap, which my wife did attempt to steal. So, even though it's 70 degrees, I feel like Cold Snap is appropriate for this event.
It was nice today.
Oh, it was gorgeous. Damn, that's good. Oh, beer. Okay, moving on. So what we're going to talk about tonight is we got a pretty packed show for you. We're going to definitely talk about, in case you weren't aware, Aramis and I actually co-hosted coverage with Andre of the SCG Regionals being held at Kerwin's this past weekend. It was a modern regional. Oh, dear. Things went well. but we're going to go over that. We're going to kind of talk a little bit about that. Then, as Aramis was alluding to previously, the Banhammer did fall today. Luckily, Standard wasn't hit, but we're going to go through a little bit as well about other cards that were hit, maybe things that should have been hit in other formats. We're going to talk about Grand Prix Lyon and the metagame shift and the fact that they actually held a Grand Prix event with the coronavirus eating all of us alive. Then we're going to go into combat and talk about the bannings, what we think should have happened. And then in second main, we're going to talk about the state of the game email we got last week. And that should be a nice, complete show. So, Aramis, real quick, though, first of all, like, how are you, buddy? You recovered from Saturday? We were on air for a while.
Oh, yeah, it was great. I could have gone a couple more rounds if it needed to. I kind of was hoping that the final happened.
Yeah, that was a you know what, let's just get right into the main phase here where we can kind of talk about that. I mean, we got nothing really else to talk about in on tap. I mean, I'm playing Friday night, you're not, so might as well get right into it. Okay, so main phase. Yeah, as we were alluding to here last just a little bit ago, Saturday morning, last week we were invited by Kerwin's Game Store to come and handle all the coverage for their SCG regional event. They were going to set up the featured table, and they wanted us to kind of just, you know, do the coverage for it. So us being the incredible media whores that we are, we totally agreed to it without even thinking. It was an amazing moment. So, okay, I'm the media whore, you're not, but, you know. As long as I can be on camera. This is the whole reason we have the camera.
I'm not saying anything about anything.
So, but So we did that, and it was great. I mean, it was a modern event, and I got to tell you, I was nervous as a long-tailed cat in a room full of rocking chairs, because that was just, I mean, modern is so overwhelmingly daunting.
Yeah, you know, our extra help that we got, Andre, he actually is like...
Thank God we got Andre.
Yeah, he was an expert in the format, and we were talking, and he says, yeah, I mean, there's really 70 viable decks you could bring to a tournament. And I was like, I'm not even sure I can count that high.
Quick question, quick aside here. We'll pause here. Well, we won't pause. Are you hearing the siren?
A little bit.
All right, but not overwhelmingly?
No, just barely in the background.
Okay, good. All right. Continue.
Okay, but anyway, yeah, so he was talking about just the number of decks that were there, but he was able to rattle off archetypes, strategies. He knew a bunch of the players that were in the tournament, so it really...
He knew the cards on site, dude. We were like, I think that's a thing
I was pretty good at identifying cards. But for the most part, he was like, oh, yeah, this. And, you know, I got tripped up on a couple of the alternate art versions of stuff. Like, someone had played an Oblivion Stone, I think, during round 4 or 5, and I was like, what the heck is that card? And then they activated it, and I was looking at the deck list, like, oh, okay, that's got to be Oblivion Stone. So, overall, I think we did pretty well for you only having limited experience in Modern, and me, my experience in Modern is limited to basically, like, reading a couple of deck lists and watching some coverage from past tournaments.
Yeah, literally, you guys carried me through that. I mean, both of your backs had to be killing you by the end of the day, because I was very overwhelmed with the amount of cards. And I mean, I think I came off okay. And I was relegated to doing color, which I can do that anyway. I can talk about this game all day long. And as the day went on, I got a little better at the mechanics and what they were trying to do with each of the things and how it was supposed to work. But it was definitely, it was a little scary for me. I got to be honest. I mean, I think we did all right. I don't know. I mean,
I think we did.
Nobody seemed to, there was that one match where you and I were just woefully off.
Oh, the Storm
where
matchup.
It was the Tron versus
Storm.
Yeah.
And I love
where
the
we
Storm
just, thank God for the guys in the chat room on that. The Twitch chat people were amazing. Yeah. I got to be honest with you. So, you know, I had a blast. It was so cool to, first of all, just to be able to do that, to call the event like that was great. But then to also, you know, see the inner workings and the behind the scenes of how that gets done. Like, you know, and just the little things that have to happen. Like, you know, okay, we're doing coverage all day. There's 10 rounds, you know, and they're like, lunch? And we're like, how does that work? You know, and it's like, and luckily, round 4 ended quickly, but...
Yeah, well, and there's also the fact that, you know, there were 3 of us, so it worked out really well that we were able to do a rotation where one of us was going to be upstairs during the tournament saying, oh, okay, these guys are undefeated, or this matchup looks pretty cool, I like this player's deck, well, let's get him on camera next round. So it was almost like a game of Magic in and of itself, where you had to plan ahead and be like, all right, we're going to do this next, and then maybe this. If this doesn't work, we can do this. There was one point where... Andre came down and he looked like a kid that just walked out of a candy store having stolen everything inside the place, because he was like, oh my God, there's an undefeated ad nauseum deck. We have to have this on camera. And that matchup ended up being fantastic.
It really did. It really did. And it was an exceptional time. Everything kind of went off without a hitch. I mean, and we did. We had fun. I mean, where we went black and white, we put the Twitch the clip up on our Facebook page. But the semifinal rounds was really, really good, where they were talking about you know, they brought out the new playmats, the top eights, and the top eight playmats were the same playmats they were using, but they were in black and white film noir.
Yeah. So and, if you watch the coverage, it's awesome.
Yeah.
The regular playmats was, you know, it's this big hydra jumping out, you know, bursting out of like this Acropolis type thing. And, you know, the guys are running away from it, like regular people are running away. The top eight version was that same image, like you said, in black and white, had like the film strip on the side and like 1950s monster font saying Attack of the Hydra top eight. And so
I got it up on the screen right now.
You can see it on camera. So, if you're watching us live, yeah, you can see it on camera. But so what they...
It was really cool.
But yeah, so what they did, we were talking about how cool it was. And I think I mentioned, like, oh, yeah, you know, we got to start talking like, you know, 1950s movie announcers. And our producer, Tony, who did a great job, by the way, he caught it. And this was totally ad-libbed. all of a sudden we see the screen go black and white. So me and Will just start talking like these 50s announcers going, and he's going to play this card, and what will he do next? You have to watch to find out. And it was...
tune in to find... Oh, it was really a lot of fun.
Although I feel like at the end I wanted to say, buy war bonds.
And then and there was some great moments too, like of conversations when it got me thinking. I almost wanted to do this for combat today because I remember what it was. I can't remember his name now. The guy who came downstairs though, he tilted bad.
Oh, that was Jamal.
Jamal comes downstairs and he starts talking to us, and he was. And this is an interesting thing and something we could definitely talk about to bring this back around to Standard and Arena is, you know, Jamal's sitting there and he was playing a deck and he was playing against an Ashiok. And three times he cracked his fetch without realizing what Ashiok would, you know, Dream Render does is its static ability is you can't search your deck. So he would crack. I mean, we're sitting there doing coverage. We're like, oh, he's on tilt.
Yeah, it's the very nice benefit of being in the bird's eye saying, well, this is going to suck for him if he does it. Oh, and he did it.
Yeah. Well, but then he comes downstairs because Reg and him are very good friends and they know each other. And Reg is like, oh, I was going to bust your balls about it. And Reg
you
is.
Mean, you mean
and Jamal? Yeah, Dre, sorry. And Dre, Reg. Yeah, sorry, Dre. Andre is like, I'm going to bust your balls about it. And then Jamal's just like, hey, you know, he's like, listen, here's the thing. I'm not used to seeing that card outside of Arena. And it really got me thinking. I'm like, you know what? We've talked about this before that Arena is kind of making paper players. Sloppy.
It happened to me too a couple FNMs ago with Bone Crusher Giant and Stomp. I completely forgot about the damage prevention ability, and I can understand where he would forget about the static. I can't tell you the number of times that people have been nailed by Narset.
Yeah, it's one of those things that, you know, I think over time, and that was what I was going to make for combat was I was thinking about it was like, you know, is Arena making paper magic, you know, tougher, you know, things like that. But I think the jury's back on that. It absolutely is. I mean, we're seeing misplays in paper that you would not see, you know, normally.
Well, the interesting thing is that you still may. It's just it's hard to say without having a control, and you can't do that since Arena exists, and we can't tap into the alternate reality where Arena was never released.
Right.
Unless you have that machine you were talking about. You said you were building something.
I have many machines, sir, that I'm building.
Okay,
so.
Cannot confirm or deny. Got it.
I can't discuss it. Defense.
Say content. No more.
But yes, no, I mean, I just sit there and I can't help thinking to myself, like this whole event was so amazingly well done, and you know, it was really, like I said, seeing it from behind the scenes, seeing it from, you know, us sitting there and being a part of it, and you know. You know, they're like, John was like, go scout your decks for the feature matches. You guys choose the features. I'm like, I have absolutely no idea what I'm looking for. You know, I didn't. Like, you and Dre really did a good job of scouting the best matches we could do. And then, obviously, as it gets later in the day, you're going towards the undefeated people. But, I mean, we managed to get a Tron versus Storm deck up. Just because it looked like it would be fun as heck.
And we had Ad Nauseam against Four Color Death Shadow. There was a lot of Bant Snowblade that we were able to show on camera.
Too much Bant
but
Snowblade.
I'll say this, and I'm sure you've already said it already, but just in case, I don't even care if we double down. Huge thank you to Kerwin's Game Store to letting us do this event. It was awesome. It was an honor to be able to do it. I think we did a good job. I'm hoping we can do it again at some point.
Yes. I definitely felt like we did a really great job. I mean, first of all, the team with Andre and us was really, really well put together. Our strengths and weaknesses really offset each other very well. Dre carried me through quite a few matches. But, you know, it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of work. I was tired at the end of that day. I really was.
It was a long day, but I tell you what, I didn't even know it was as late as it was until we finished, and I was like, oh, wow, it's 9:15. Okay.
And I'd have been good with going for the finals. Like, in case you don't know, in case you weren't watching, which, come on, why weren't you watching? You know, what happened was, basically, when it got to the final table, they basically chopped. So they just didn't play. Yeah.
And I think what it was something along the lines of like one of them had let the other one borrow a deck or something, and they're both coming from Syracuse.
Yeah, and had to go all the way back to Syracuse.
That's a three-hour trek. They wouldn't have gotten back till after midnight. It's not like there was an invitation on the line because everybody in the top eight got an invitation. So, they split. And while I would have loved to have been able to say, this person has been crowned SCG regional champion for this tournament, I'm okay with the way that it ended.
Right. So I'm just really excited for it. I want to see, I want to see what's coming up next. I want to be like, hey, listen, do you want to do that Saturday pre-release again?
Yeah. I'm really hoping that they have another big tournament like that where they're looking for coverage.
Yeah.
And, maybe we did well enough that they'll ask us again. If not, cool. But I'm really hoping we get to do that again because that was lot of fun.
It was great fun. And again, a triple down. Thank you, Steve, the guys at Kerwin's, just for everything you do. And again, hashtag sponsored. I mean, we're going to, we love those guys either way. But, I tell you right now, they put on an amazing event. It really was. It was so well run. All the cogs meshed together to form it. The judges were right, right there, and they were really, it was really, really well done. So, but let's move on from that. So, we and obviously the talk of that tournament was, we talked about it last Monday on the show, was Wizard came out and said, hey, next Monday we're doing a B&R.
Yeah, we talked about it a lot during the tournament on Saturday.
Yeah, we did.
Speculating. And so the list came out this morning. And during the tournament on Saturday, we were like, do you think they're going to hit Modern? And we were like...
I insisted they were, and y'all thought I was crazy.
Well, I remember saying, there's a lot of grumblings about Once Upon a Time, and some people were like, I don't think they're going to do that. Well, it came out, and on the list for Modern was one card.
The only thing...
Once Upon a Time is now banned in Modern.
Is banned.
It joins a couple other cards. There were a couple of surprises for me in what was done and what was omitted.
Right.
So the full list, Golos Tireless Pilgrim is banned in Brawl, and that brings up an interesting moment. We played on a stream last week, we played some Brawl. You played your Golos deck. Who would have thought that would have been the last time you could play Brawl with Golos?
Yeah, that was something. So I'm not surprised. I guess I am a little bit. I don't even like their reasoning behind it. They're like, well, Golos five-color identity circumvents deck-building restrictions, and, it's about 10% of the meta. It's like, it's 10% of a standard field. Like, how many legendary commanders are there? Like, give me a freaking break. If you have 10 commanders, it's one of them. You're right, it's 10% of the field. I mean, I know there's more than 10, but... give me a freaking break here.
Well, I think it's because you never have to worry about having the right color mana to cast him in a format where it's a little bit harder to keep a commander off the field. Not marginally, but I think with him too, his activated ability and the fact that he fetches lands by himself, so the first thing he's going to grab is Field of the Dead.
Right. But that's seven. It takes seven to get there unless you ramp into him.
Which there's a lot of ramp in.
There's a lot of ramp. But, even still, I look at... And, you know what? I don't know. Do we go to combat right now? Because, I will go through this with you.
No, because there's still a lot of cards to talk about. We could talk...
We were going to talk, combat over the cards. But, okay. So, we can do news and then opinion later. We put a pin in Golos.
Yeah, we'll get back to this.
And then in Historic, shocker to no one. Well, there was a shocker. But in Historic, because they do the suspended and then banning... they did suspend Oko Thief of Crowns, Veil of Summer, Once Upon a Time, and Field of the Dead last month. And then basically they came out and said, yeah, we're going to keep Oko, Veil of Summer, and Once Upon a Time. Those are banned in Historic. But Field of the Dead is allowed.
Yep.
So,
and I'm a little questionable about that one. That'll be something else that we can talk about. The obvious one, I think, for me was Legacy. They banned Underworld Breach. Because the interaction between that and Lion's Eye Diamond is absurd.
Or Brain Freeze.
Well, that deck, yeah. So you basically cycle triggers of Lion's Eye Diamond through Underworld Breach until you've cast the requisite number of spells to fire off a Brain Freeze to deck your opponent. And I'm glad that one left.
Me too.
And like I said, like I mentioned earlier, the last card that they banned was Modern. It was Once Upon a Time. They banned nothing in Pioneer, which everyone and their brother thought there were going to be at least one, if not two, cards banned in the format.
Right. And I love how they buried the lead on that, by the way.
They really...
If you read what they wrote on the Pioneer... Well, no, but not just that. They don't, you know, they're like, we're happy with how the Pioneer metagame has been playing out over the past several weeks. We saw tremendous diversity, yada, yada, yada. However, we're aware of community concern about some of the new combos that broke out around the time of the player's tours, including, and then they just, Dimir Inverter and Lotus Breach, but they don't highlight it. Oh, and Heliod Sun Crown and Walking Ballista combo. Those get highlighted. I'm like, you rat bastard.
Well, because the biggest reason is because the Heliod Sun Crown and Walking Ballista combo
is infinite.
Well, no, it's not a deck by itself. Right, that combo gets inserted into other strategies, so it acts like either as a primary or a secondary win condition. Whereas Dimir Inverter and Lotus Breach, you know exactly what you're coming up against.
Oh yeah. And they're sitting there saying, Dimir, and this is what's killing me. And again, we'll talk about this in the combat. But you know, across the last 2 weeks of MTGO, Dimir Inverter has a 49% non-mirror match win rate.
Yeah.
That's huge.
That's not good, though.
And unfavorable matchups against 5 of the other 10 most played
decks. That's not great. 49% is not great.
What do you mean it's not great?
You definitely want to be above 500 if you're playing a deck.
I guess you're right.
A good deck... that's worthy of banning, you're going to see the win rates be 53% and like 55% and up. So it's the win rate's good. 49% is not terrible, but it's definitely not to the point where it's like, well, you have to play this deck or you're screwed.
Okay.
People, I think, have adjusted to it a little bit. There's other things that are out there that are slowing it down. It's still definitely a force to be reckoned with in the meta, so it's definitely still probably tier one. But it's not like, you know, tier S where it's like, oh, crap, it's, you know, Oko back in the day.
Yeah, Oko was...
Or when I say back good. In the day, I mean, you know, 4 weeks ago.
Yes, yesterday, yeah. So, I mean, the bannings came out, and I mean, unrestricting Field of the Dead, I'm cool with. I think that's fine in Historic. I think Historic, there shouldn't be any bannings anyway. You're not a real freaking format. You are a fake format. No matter how many bannings you give it, it's not going to make any of us think you're a real format. We are literally thinking you are. They ought to call it what it is. We're going to play the placeholder format, which is we're holding this place for when Pioneer comes to Arena.
Yeah.
At which point Historic goes a bye-bye now.
I would hope that's the case because they've added cards that are not Pioneer legal.
Right.
So I find myself in an odd position because you know I've railed against the way they've done Historic since the rollout. I'm terribly unhappy with the way they do Historic. At the same time, I like the fact that they do keep an eye on it and ban cards. Being able to do suspensions and then bannings, or unsuspensions in this case, is something they can't do in paper, where they can take a card out of the format, really take a look at it, and then if it's still a problem, say, okay, yeah, it is banned for good. And then if they don't think it is, put it back in. I'm not sure that putting Field of the Dead back in is a great idea because Scapeshift is still a thing.
Yes.
So that could come back to bite them. But again, they have that ability to pull the trigger really quickly and say, oh, wait, never mind. Let's take that back out of here.
Whoopsie.
Sorry about that, guys.
Yeah, but I definitely, you know, and you know what, let's get into this, because I mean, we've kind of gone through the news now, so let's really get into the nuts and bolts.
Combat phase.
Okay, so, here we are, combat phase. Yeah, you know what, we'll go right down the list from in here. Brawl. Golos did not need to be banned.
I think it did.
What?
I think it did.
Explain to me why.
I think it did because... While there are other powerful commanders out there, and having planeswalkers as commanders I think is a bit of an issue in this format, I think having only one colorless commander, which allows you to play all of the best cards, because there's no color, you know, there's no color identity restriction because of his activated ability, and there being a much more limited suite of answers in this format, and the fact that he somewhat pays for his tax by himself, I think that lends to him being just a smidge. Like, in Commander, he's fine. Nothing wrong with Golos in Commander. There's just, it's a better format for him, I think. In Brawl, I think like, if there's a scale of 1 to 10 where 10 is too powerful for the format, he's like 9.97, so you have to round him up to 10.
I disagree wholeheartedly. He's not that powerful. He's in 10% of the decks. I'm sorry, Uro is a more powerful commander. The red and green Kolthos, or whatever the hell it is a more powerful commander. Freaking Korvold. I mean, there are... Kenrith gets you five colors. I mean, if it's five colors you're worried about, then why the hell aren't we banning Kenrith?
Kenrith, like, doesn't let you play things for free.
No, but he gives you life and haste and every other thing in the book.
Yeah, but I mean, you can...
Like, he gives you everything, and the only thing that Golos lets you free is if you can pull it off with the five color of mana.
Which is very easy to do in that deck because you're playing a lot of ramp anyway to get him out to get to his activated ability. That's his whole
right.
shtick.
Well, you're playing ramp, but it doesn't mean you're going to have all five colors out.
Oh, you'll have all five colors if you know what you're doing.
If you know what you're doing. And yes, then you're going for Field of the Dead, and obviously.
Yeah, but basically, like, the best case scenario for Golos is you have him out turn three or four.
Six. No, in this...
You can play him.
Standard meta... You can't get him out. Turn four, turn five.
Yeah, oh yeah, absolutely. You kidding me?
Okay.
Commander's Tower, Gilded Goose. Turn two, Arcane Signet, plus a land. So there's two lands, Goose, Signet. That's four mana. Turn three, land, Golos. Turn five, activation.
Sure. Problem is with that. Okay. Turn five, activation. Where's the seven mana?
Well, you have.
You need all five
Arcane
colors.
Signet,
plus...
Arcane Signet does all five. Commander's Tower does all five. If you play two basic lands, there's four out of your five colors. When Golos comes out, you get another color that you're missing. You play one more land, there's all five colors.
Right, but you need more than just the five colors for Golos, do you not?
Seven altogether.
Five and two. Yeah,
seven altogether. So, you're still looking for six.
You tutored him out or whatever. The odds of that happening, though, it's like shooting the moon.
It's hard, but it's only a 60-card deck. It's not a 100-card deck like in Commander. The odds
even
are better.
Still, the odds are not better. It's one in... I mean,
1 in 60 is always better than 1 in 100.
Yes, of course it is, but it's not... I'm telling you, I've played this deck. It's not that powerful. It's almost like they just felt like they had to have a freaking brawl.
No, I don't think they would do this lightly. They've been looking at the numbers behind the scenes.
10% of the field? He's risen to 10% of the field. How many commanders are there?
That I don't know.
Because that's the question. Like, how many Brawl commanders are there?
Well, I mean, let's find out.
I mean, don't forget, too. Well, I guess with Planeswalkers and War of the Spark. Okay, so we're talking, let's say conservatively, let's say there's 60 between artifact, or between legendary creatures and planeswalkers, there's probably 60. War of the Spark had 32. You got to figure how many sets are out right now.
I'm seeing like 80 plus.
Is it 80?
All right. Because, I mean, Questing Beast can technically be a commander.
Right, but I mean, it's not going to be a commander.
Yeah, I'm looking at a deck right now.
Are you really?
Yeah. Questing Beast, Gargos is a commander. The God Eternals are commanders.
But this doesn't mean that they're good.
I mean, there's four decks.
What I'm saying to you is you're like, it's become 10% of the field. That number doesn't work. Okay, it's 10% of the field. How many good commanders are there? How many good, you know what I mean?
That's a little more subjective.
If there's 80 commanders, okay? So Golos might be 10% of the field, but you can't tell me Uro isn't like 9.6.
I have not seen a Uro deck on this, actually.
Oh, I have a few times.
I'm looking down here. I mean, granted, I'm looking at MTG Goldfish, and I'm not sure when the last time they updated.
Yeah, in their arena, they don't update that Brawl very often.
This one was March
7th. I mean, because I've played Brawl. I play Brawl on Wednesdays, and I do the MTG, the Brawl Finder thingy there. Mm-hmm. And I do play that. I mean, I've played against Euro decks. I've played against Thassa, which was, that was annoying as hell.
Well, I think I'll just say this. I'm not willing to tinfoil hat this one.
Okay.
I think there's a good...
I'm not saying you got a tinfoil hat.
Well,
I think
they're not banning it just for the sake of having something to ban. I think there's got to be a reason that they would take this card out because, I mean, wasn't it banned in another format? Wasn't it banned in Pioneer?
No. No, I think Golos is legal in Pioneer.
Now I have to look that up, too. But yeah, anyway.
I'm on it already.
I'm pretty sure it was banned.
It's legal in every other set.
Really?
Nope. It's legal. Standard, Brawl, Pioneer, Modern, Legacy, Vintage, Commander, legal. Huh. All the way through.
I'm wondering if...
I don't even think they banned it in Historic.
No, it's not banned in Historic.
So, I mean, that's just it. It's like, I think this is a stupid ban. Mm. Yeah, all right, but I don't think we're going to agree on this one.
Yeah, this
so.
One we won't agree on. That's yeah. fine. But, I mean, Historic...
Do we talk about the placeholder format, or are we just going to be like?
Well, I kind of mentioned it already. I think keeping Once Upon a Time, keeping Oko, and what was the third card?
Veil of Summer.
Veil of Summer. Keeping those cards out of Historic was a good idea. Field of the Dead. I mean, again, I don't think they would have done this lightly. I am a little less confident on this one than I am on the Golos ban and Brawl. I think that this has potential to be a problem. Especially since Golos and Field of the Dead will both be legal in that format, along with Scapeshift. So
yeah, you're not wrong. I think
the Scapeshift deck is going to make a very quick reappearance in the Historic meta.
I think Historic they could have brought back Oko.
No, hell no.
I do.
Hell no. Are you kidding me?
I mean, have you taken a look though? Like I took a look just now at Once Upon a Time sets in legality and Oko sets in legality. This is proof that this card doesn't work. When it says banned, and then Legacy, it's legal. Vintage, it's legal. Commander, it's legal. That's it. It's like the Eternal formats, you can play it. Any place else, screw you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, Field of the Dead or isn't banned. The only place it's banned is what? Standard and Pioneer. So.
Yeah.
And then Once Upon a Time now being banned in Modern. You know, let's switch to that because, I mean, that's definitely the more... That ban had to happen. Like, we saw, I think Once Upon a Time was what we saw most that day. If there was a green deck, you had it out.
Well, I mean, you had to, because they even talked about the reasoning behind it. It increases consistency of your draws. It basically nullifies mulligans. There were a couple times
we saw that.
Yeah, someone would mull down to six and be, oh, look, Once Upon a Time. So much for that mulligan.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it was a card that, yeah, needed to go. I feel bad because it's a cool card. It's not, like, overpowered, but it increases the consistency so well of what you're trying to do that there was never going to be a home for it anywhere except for Eternal formats where it's still good, don't get me wrong, but there's other options.
I have 10 of them.
I sold one of them.
I have literally opened, like, a bunch of them.
Yeah,
and it seems like I've opened more since.
I had I was on the fence on Friday before I went to FNM, so I was like, I should probably offload some of these in case it gets banned. But I was like, I want to keep like play sets if I have play sets because it's cool to have it. And so I had five copies of, or six copies of the regular version of it. So I sold one of those. So I have one for the binder and four to play, and then I have two of the borderless versions, and I was like, should I sell this one? Nah. So in that respect, oh well. But I got rid of one, so it's fine.
I mean, I definitely think that for Modern, and I think Modern is looking pretty healthy otherwise.
Yeah, I think this is what it's going to do. It's going to knock Amulet Titan down a peg, but it's certainly not going to kill it, because I think Ancient Stirrings is still legal.
Agent Stirrings is still legal.
So they can just switch back to that if that's what they're looking for. There's other
and
cards,
that's what they'll do.
And there's other cards that do similar effects. So they'll find a replacement for Once Upon a Time. It's not going to be as good. So the deck, because of that, won't be as good. But again, it's Modern. So there's literally 3.7 million decks you could play in that format and still do okay. We saw a Bogles deck get registered. We saw Elves get registered. We saw Storm go 4-0 at one point. So,
I really want Bogles to come back.
Well, I mean, Bogles is still there. It's one of those decks that if you catch people off guard, they can't stop you. What was it? Infect made the top eight of our tournament.
It did.
So, you know.
And yeah, it was a very diverse format. It was very, very fun to watch. You know, I really enjoyed doing that. But Legacy, yeah. Underworld Breach, I mean,
busted.
Big target.
Busted.
Big target.
Any
for that.
Card that makes you say, Yawgmoth's Will's kind of bad compared to this. That should tell you everything you need to know about this card.
Yeah, that and I don't think anybody was surprised when that got the hit.
I think the big surprise was Pioneer.
Yeah, I have to go with that too. I really would have put money on that.
Yeah, me too. I when they were going down the list, I'm like, all right, where's Pioneer? Where's Pioneer? Wait, where is Pioneer? Nope, it's not there. Nothing.
And I think it was a mistake. I do. I think they should have hit inverter. I do. I think you have to.
I don't know. I don't know if hitting inverter per se. I don't know if you want to do the surgical strike on the deck. I mean, I'll say this. I was expecting Dig Through Time to get banned.
I really don't think they want to do that because it's the one place it's legal, other than Eternal.
So I don't know. I mean, I was expecting something to get banned.
Right.
But, you know, like you said, they gave a lot of good reasoning as to why they didn't do it. So
I don't think it's good reasoning. I think it's crap reasoning.
Yeah, well,
I really do. I was sitting there going, this is just stupid. Like, you guys, you know what needs to be done. You're not doing it. Why aren't you doing it?
Well, I mean, the results aren't there. The deck's not dominating the format. It was really good for a couple of weeks, but then it sort of came back down to earth a little bit. Remember when Izzet Phoenix was running wild? They didn't ban Faithless Looting then. They waited a little while longer. But at that point, things had settled down, and Izzet Phoenix and Modern sort of went away. And then they banned, you know, Faithless Looting and completely killed it. But, you know.
I think they could have done more with this banned and restricted. I definitely would have liked to have seen them do some Pioneer.
There were definitely surprises in both directions.
I don't think they needed to hit Brawl. I think Brawl's fine. It's fine. Like, that whole format is fine. You don't let us play it enough, and now you're banning cards from it?
Good point. That's a good point.
You know what? I'm okay if you want to ban stuff.
Let us play. Okay,
you know what? You know what? That's true, too. All right. So let's talk about that. Okay, Golos is 10% of the meta for Brawl, right?
Mm-hmm.
10% of your paying customers for Brawl, probably. Because how can you get information and statistics from being able to play it for 24 hours once a week? No, they are pulling all of this from the people who paid to go into the Guild Hall Brawl. Okay, they have to be. So they're sitting here making decisions about bannings on something when they don't need to do that. Like, because nobody's playing Paper Brawl. Who the heck is where in the world is there an event with Paper Brawl?
I don't know. I'm sure it's happening somewhere. I'm not gonna bash it like that because I like the format.
So do I. I love the format.
I'm sure there's some data on MTGO as well, but obviously no. You know, Arena's where it's at for Brawl.
Arena is really where it's at. If you're playing Brawl on MTGO, it's because you don't have a good commander deck yet, but you're working toward it.
Yeah.
I mean, here's the thing. That's just it. It's like Brawl, they should just leave it the hell alone unless there's something like Oko. Like, there was no reason to put that out there right now.
Yeah,
just none.
I don't know. I'm trusting them on this one. I'm not saying that I'm blindly agreeing with it.
Oh, good. So I win. Yay. All right.
No, but I'm just saying that it's they wouldn't have done this without something to back it up. Because they know exactly what that does. They want money in their pockets. So they're not going to do something that would endanger their customer base. Well, they would, but they're not going to do something that would endanger the whales if, you know, they could avoid it. So, I mean, the people that were playing Golos, they either switch to Kenrith and adjust their strategy or they pick a different commander. But since they were playing Golos, they have all the cards that would be good commanders anyway because they were all on that deck.
Right. I think that was a stupid banning. It was ridiculous and dumb, and Wizards should go and poop in their hat.
Full disclosure.
So, yeah.
Full disclosure, Benson is a Golos player.
Yeah. So, you know. But let's go on. You know, let's shift from that, and we'll go into main two here.
Main phase.
Okay, so main phase. Really what we're going to talk about here is the State of the Game email that came out last week. So Wizards, every month, they release a State of the Game, and they released it on March 5th.
Yep.
So, and they go through the roadmap for Arena this month. So, and in the coming months, really. So, Aramis, do you have it up on your screen? Or?
I do. Yep, I have it all set.
Okay. So, obviously, the first thing they talked about, Historic Anthology 2. Why don't you talk about that? Because you love Historic so much.
Awkward silence.
So, it's good to be the king.
Historic 2. They're adding a new list of cards. I'm trying to see if I can find the actual list here. No, I can't see the list, but I can tell you what they're adding. They're adding Platinum Angel, Maelstrom Pulse, Thalia, Guardian of Thraben, Pack Rat, Meddling Mage, Waste Knot, Terravor, Dragon Master, I think Outcast, Ancestral Mask, Nyx Fleece Ram. What else are they adding here? There's a bunch of cards. Brain Maggot, the five cycling lands from Onslaught, Inexorable Tide, Sigil of the Empty Throne, Virulent Plague, Bajuka Bog, Ghost Quarter, Knight of the Reliquary, Goblin Ruin Blaster, and what was that last card? I just missed it. Marrow something? I don't know. I missed it. Marrow Regery and Ranger of Eos. So it's a bunch of cards that they're adding. And a couple of those cards being added are part of the reason why they unsuspended Field of the Dead, because they hit non-basic lands. So they feel like adding a couple of answers justifies bringing that card out. The question will be, are people going to play those cards, or are they going to be forced to play those cards because Field of the Dead is going to be so good?
Right. Well, I don't know about that. Here's the thing. First of all, somebody asked me earlier this week, should I buy the Historic Anthology 2? No.
Don't buy it. If you have the wild card,
save your money, save your gems. Get them with the wild cards. It does you no good. It's like, what is it, $20 for the whole set?
25,000 gold?
Yeah. So it's not cheap. And it's, yeah,
or
don't
like,
do it.
It's that or like some amount of 1,000 gems.
Right.
I don't see the price here, but I know they had mentioned it. It's like 4,000 gems and 20 or 25,000 gold, or that many number requisite wild cards, which, you know, it's like 20 different cards. That's a lot of wild cards. So I think there'll be some people that won't have that many wild cards lying around. So, I mean, if you're an avid historic player, then yeah, you're probably going to have to farm some gold to buy these things. Otherwise, you know, I'll probably try to get some of them depending on if I ever do play historic, but we'll see. I mean, I'm sure it'll be available more than for a couple of months.
I don't really play a lot of historic.
Yeah.
I just don't. Now, don't get me wrong, we're going to be coming to the end of a standard, you know, here shortly. I mean, Theros has been out for a month, releases in a month and a half, 6 weeks or so. So I could see myself in 3 or 4 weeks being like, maybe I'll play some historic. And the event that they've put out, I mean, March 12th to April 16th, it kind of brings you up to Ikoria. So in that regard, I think they're getting a little smarter, because I think they're realizing that, you know, standard gets usually figured out in the first 3 or 4 weeks after a big release. And then, you know, people want to play it and they want to rank up. And then it's, you know, okay, now what? You know?
What they should do is just have it, like standard, available 24/7.
All they really should.
Should be available 24/7.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
could you imagine if MTGO tried to limit?
Well, the only thing that's like MTGO that I would accept in Arena is if they have specialty drafts rotating in and out. Like, they just had the Khan's expanded cube for a couple of weeks. Now they're going to be having the modern cube, or they'll have flashback phantom drafts or flashback keep drafts where you can do old sets. Like they did an invasion block draft recently, so you know, something like that. They did, I think they did onslaught draft too. Something like that. But you know, they have these sets rotating in and out. I wouldn't mind that. You know, you still have ranked Theros draft never leaving, and then, you know, you'd be like, hey, for the next 2 weeks, in addition to ranked Theros draft, if you want to do something different, here's traditional or ranked or both Guilds of Ravnica draft or War of the Spark draft or Throne of Eldraine draft. And then a couple weeks later, they switch it to a different format, while always having the most recent release always available. I think that's the way they should go, because even if the format gets solved, people are going to be nostalgic. Like, oh, hey, I haven't done Amonkhet Draft in a while. Let's go back and do Amonkhet Draft. I don't care if it's Phantom or not. I just want to play these cards.
Okay. Interesting. I don't disagree.
That's my, you know, that's my rant about how I think they should be doing things. But hell, who am I? I'm not anybody.
So, and then they went into Secret Lair Thalia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, well, I like the idea of secret lairs being a once in a while, hey, yeah, here's something special. Here you go. But this is the fifth secret lair this year already.
Yeah, they're not going that way.
Some people even haven't gotten their Year of the Rat secret lairs yet.
It's not going away.
No, it's
not.
It's
just not.
And,
it's not.
Okay, that's fine.
It's going to be a always here. And again, I half suspect they might go to some subscription service for it at some point.
Which,
but,
if it comes to that, that might be something I would be interested in. I know we were having a discussion during Friday Night Magic most recently about the fetch lands. And my suspicion is that this is where you'll see them. If they're not going to be printed in a standard legal set, they're going to be printed here.
They're going to be printed in standard legal. I'm going to put it out there right now. Zendikar will have them.
Maybe.
I would
love it.
Listen, before Guilds, you said the same thing about Shocklands. You're like, they'll never reprint Shocklands either. Shockler fetch. And then when the Guilds started coming out, you're like,
we'll have to go back and check that one, because I'm pretty sure I said that the Shocklands should be in the...
Weren't on the air at the time. You and I were just talking.
I don't remember
like,
that.
You know, we were just talking at work, and you were like, yeah, I don't think they'll ever print the Fetch or the Shocklands. And I was like, I don't know, maybe. And then two days later, you're like, they're printing the Shocklands.
Well, I think at that point, I was like, if they were going to print one, they would print the Shocks, because it was Ravnica.
Right.
I mean, if they're going to print the Fetchlands, yes, it would be Zendikar. I would love it if they did. I'm wondering, I'm feeling a little less confident now than I was a couple of months ago that they will, but I'm not going to.
If they don't, what's going to replace them? They've got to have something other than Shocklands.
They could,
because the Shocklands are leaving.
Well, there's other lands that they could do. There's other cycles they haven't finished.
Right.
So there's things they could, like, if they wanted to do the Horizon lands, they're not going to do that, but they could.
Right.
There's the.
How about just plain old dual lands again?
Not without basic land types.
Yeah, I know.
That could be a thing, but I don't know if they'd do that either. But
because that's just it. We need the basic land types. That's why I really think they're going to do fetch.
But going back to,
because if they do fetch without shock,
it makes more sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, it makes more sense.
I think we're going to see it. I still do. I think we'll see it in Zendikar. And we'll find out after Ikoria and Core. I mean, right around Core 20 is when, if they're going to do the shocks, they'll sprinkle it right in there.
Mm.
Fetch.
Fetches, yeah. So, yeah, the secret lair, Thalia, Beyond the Hell Vault, if you buy the secret lair, you get a card sleeve, and you also get each of the new illustrations on the cards you get for Arena if you get the historic version, the historic package, which,
right.
Okay, fine. Whatever. It's a cool little perk. I'm not interested in this secret lair, so we'll see what the next one does, because I'm sure in about 4 minutes they're going to announce it.
I imagine they'll have a Teffy one at some point right around Core 20.
Maybe.
Then you'll probably get interested.
Well, I mean, that depends. I don't know if I'm going to play Teferi Mage of Zolfia anywhere. I already have a playset of Hero of Dominaria, so we'll see. But they also mentioned in the state of the game, which I think is a good thing.
Yes.
And especially the way that they're implementing it is direct messaging.
So yes,
you'll actually be able to talk to people in the game, but only your friends.
Yeah.
So if you have no friends, you're not talking to anybody. So, you know.
Here's the thing. Not only that, I think it's wrong that they're limited. Here's the thing. Undo it. Unlock it. Listen. Yeah, MTGO chat can be a dumpster fire. We all know that.
It's never not a dumpster fire.
There are times where it would be good to be able to say, hey, you know, blah, 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 or, you know. I'm sorry. I don't like the emotes. I think chat is where it's at.
The emotes are stupid, and I'm glad they're having chat, but I do like the idea that they're basically saying, look, you already know this person you're talking to, so it's already... They want people to feel safe. They want people to not feel threatened and attacked, and they want people to be able to come play Magic and not worry about what their opponent's going to say to them. If it's somebody you already know and you're friends with them, then, hey, you've already kind of expecting whatever you're going to get from that person. You've already sort of, like, checked the box off saying, I fully accept what this person is saying.
And no, I just open chat. Give me chat. Let me look at somebody and go, oh, like, because here's the thing. I want to be able to type to somebody. Really? Roping? This is what we're doing today? Like, you know, I want to shame these people. Like, you know what, guys? If you're a listener right now, and I love our listeners, please understand that. But if you're a listener and you're a roper, just seriously, like, just.
Scoop.
Just put your head in the toilet, flush it a few times, then come back and play and realize that you're doing something wrong. Because, dang, like, roping is for doping. It ropes for dopes, man. That's it. That's all there is to it. Don't rope the game. if you're going to be salty, just freaking quit.
Well, that's the thing, though. I think the reason that they rope is because they can't go off and chat at the person, calling them every cuss word under the sun.
Which, okay, then let's let them do that. There's value in that. So what? And then you know what? Put a report button. There you go. That solves the problem. It'll stop after a few times.
Well, why not just prevent the problem?
Because, you know what? It solves other problems like roping. Like, roping is a major issue, especially...
It's a lot better than it is in MTGO, where you got to wait 15 minutes.
I know.
It's a million times better. If the person doesn't have any timeouts built up, it's like only 2 or 3 minutes, and that's fine. You can go get a cup of water or whatever.
Come on. Haven't you been on the receiving end of a rope, though? You're like...
All the time. No. Whenever somebody starts roping for me, I'm like, well, I won this game. It's just a matter of waiting. Let me check my email.
Must be nice not to have anything else to do.
For 2 minutes, it gives me a chance to look away from the game, refresh my brain a little bit.
It annoys the living hell out of me. I want to tell them off. I want to make them cry to their mother.
I mean, you
want to make them go home and cry and, you know, realize that they have no life and that, you know, yeah.
Well, I mean, there could sometimes be actual legitimate issues that happen. I mean, obviously, for the most part, the people that are roping are salting out. But when they're roping, I'm like, either they're going to come back or they're not. I don't do it. If I like the second that I know this game is lost, I'm scooping.
Yeah.
Moving on to the next one. Some people decide they want to try to waste people's time, but it's like, you're only going to get so much time out of me. So if that's what you want to do, I'll do something else while you're doing that. And you're not going to get the satisfaction of me wasting time.
You're a better person than I am. I want them to die in a fire from cancer. Okay? I want them to get cancer and then flail around in pain, start a fire, and burn up. Okay?
Moving away
ropers from... are dopers. They suck and they need to go away.
They do need to if you're going to lose, just scoop the game and
just
move on.
Yeah, you know what? That's just it. It's disrespectful. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm amping it up for entertainment value, but I mean, please, nobody go kill yourself with a fire or cancer, please.
Yeah,
But, you know, at the end of the day, roping is kind of just,
it's
shitty, is what it is. I mean, there's no other way to put it. It's just shitty. And there's no reason to do it. Like, we're all in this game together, and most people are, especially ranked, because you know that people are playing ranked to rank up the ladder, and roping is like doubly bad in there. It's because I'm going to rope you and keep you from going to get another win.
Well, I think you can still report players.
You can, but you have to go out of the game, push this button, go sideways, stand up and down, swing around, do the hokey pokey, turn yourself around. That's what it's all about. Then hit report.
That'll still happen with chat.
No, in chat, I could see them having just a button that dumps the freaking chat log to a dev. They should.
They should, but they won't. So I'm glad that they're doing it the way that they are. But if you, again, going back to it, if you're roping, just scoop the game, move on.
Yeah.
Or do something else. Do something else. You're done with
like knitting or, you know,
but anyway.
Underwater basket weaving or, you know, I don't know, go outside. Kiss a girl. There you go. Go find a girl and kiss her.
Well, I mean.
Or boy, whatever you're into. Well, you know, man, not boy. Don't do that. That ain't right. But, you know, go do something. Like, God, those people annoy me. It's like them and, you know, Jar Jar Binks. It's like just the salt is real, man. Apparently.
Salt is very real. Yeah, we touched on a nerve here. So going on to something that's a little bit better, along with playing with your friends, which is what this is all about.
Yes, friendship
Arena,
and love.
Arena is all about playing with
and
your
friends. And not letting yourself on fire from cancer. Yes.
So one thing that they added, which we just, again, something we just talked about last week, they've updated it to allow you to get quest progress by challenging your friends, which I think is a no-brainer. I was talking about it last week. We were playing some random match, and I was like, wouldn't it be great if you could just at least get your quest progress done with this? And there you go. Like, you can't level up, but, well, you still get some... You know, you don't get your daily or weekly win rewards, but you still get your, you know, attack with 15 creatures thing.
Right.
That's a win-win.
That's a good thing, yeah. And it should happen.
They added some stuff for newer players, which I'm not really going to go over. Because if you're playing, like for the most part, if you're playing Arena, I would say maybe 8 times out of 10, you already know how to play. Or at least have a... at least have a decent idea of what the game's about, because that's a heck of a game to jump into. They do a decent job of teaching you the game through Arena if you've never played before. But I'm just going to make the assumption that you do. But basically, it's just, you know, they're adding new challenges to basically make it so you can get some extra rewards for playing.
Right.
One thing that I like that they're adding is they're changing the way that you can organize and pick your sleeves.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Because before, you have to click on the sleeve thing, and it's like a manual scroll to each individual.
Well, that's why I think a lot of this has to do with mobile. Like, you want that for mobile.
Yeah,
you don't want to do the screen. You know, I'm looking at some of these changes they're doing here, and a lot of it is, you know.
Yeah, it's a multi-row vertical scrolling format, which to me looks like, you know, this.
Yeah. Yep, so it makes a lot more sense.
Yeah, so I love that.
And then they're evolving the emotes because, again, why can't we chat?
Yeah, skip the emotes. The emotes suck. I don't even use the emotes. I block the emotes.
No.
So I haven't seen an emote in 4 months. And
that was all that was spoken of. There was nothing else exciting.
Stop it.
That's it. That's all.
No.
All right. That's been the Plain Stalkers podcast.
No.
So Ferreira's Perez.
They're doing Cube Sealed. Come on. You can't tell me you're not excited about that. And damn proud of it. So they're adding. I'm not even gonna. Okay, that's a copyright strike. Anyway, so they're adding Cube Sealed. So. Here's what they're saying. They're saying, okay, first off, yes, we know a lot of you want Cube Draft. That's me. Yes, please. And yes, we want it too. So I'm like, yes, thank you. Given our intended goals for Cube Draft with the cards and pack collation we intend to use, we don't believe it would be a fun environment for drafting with bots.
Nobody thinks that.
Thank you.
So you know what's not fun drafting with bots? Anything! Sorry.
Yeah, so they said, so you can probably guess what we need to implement first, and by that they mean 8-person pod drafting. So we know that's coming soon, or at least soon-ish. So in the meantime, they're doing Cube Sealed. So what that is, it's a regular sealed event. It's a phantom event, so the cards will not be added to your collection, which I think is cool. Which also means, I think, I'm hoping, I'm praying, that the entry fee's not going to be too crazy. Because you can win gems from this if you go 5-2 or better. Because it's 5 wins. So if you go 5-2, 5-1, 5-0, you're going to get some gems. Otherwise, every win gets you some cards and some gold. So I'm thinking it's going to be one of those, like, maybe 5,000 gold type things. Or I'm hoping maybe a little less if it's Phantom.
Yeah, it should be less for Phantom.
But
it won't be, but it should be.
So what it is, you get 6 packs to open. But it's not like your regular 6 packs where you only get one rare per pack and maybe a second if there was like a foil. And obviously there's no foils in Arena, so one per pack.
Mm-hmm.
This is like, if you've ever done Cube Draft in either in person or on MTGO, you'll open a pack that has 6 mythics and 4 rares, a bunch of uncommons, and maybe a common. You know, it's going to be ridiculous. You can open a pack that has Elspeth, Ashiok, Chandra, and, you know, a couple of dragons or like a Teferi Planeswalker all in one pack. And you're going to get 6 of those. You build a 40-card deck from it. And the power level is going to be through the roof. The only thing that I'm not even mad, I was just sort of like, oh, darn, I wish they could have done this. Right now, they're only doing cards that are available in Arena. So none of the really old stuff is going to be there. Doesn't mean that won't happen in the future. Maybe it will. Maybe, you know, maybe they're just coding stuff in. But in the meantime, I think this is fan-freaking-tastic, and I cannot wait. It comes in April, so it's not next week, but it's coming soon.
Well, there you go. So, yeah, overall, I can't really complain. I mean, other than not being able to chat, but I get that. But
you just don't want to cuss people out.
I really do. I really, really do.
Well, sorry.
There's
Discord for that.
Yeah. So what we should do now is, actually, we're getting towards the end of the show, so let's go to our... All right, so as we're picking up our cards and putting them in the boxes, we're rolling up our play mats that are black and white and have hydras on them, I wish.
So
you know, we're putting everything away. We're grabbing the pizza boxes, putting them by the trash, because damn it, your mother still doesn't work at that store. And yes, I saw the sign. that they had there. That was cool.
So awesome.
We want to remind you that both Aramis and I stream Arena on the Planestalkers podcast channel on Twitch. So look up Planestalkers podcast, and you can follow me on Twitch at Mindcrime73, but I mostly play on the podcast. So definitely check it out.
And as far as Twitch is concerned, you can also follow me at ArmicWRX. When I stream, I simultaneously stream on the Planestalkers podcast channel so that it's always hosting it, but I stay on my main channel of ArmicWRX. So if you're looking for me there, that's where you can follow me. If Twitter is more your speed, though, you can find our show and read our tweets or fire us a tweet at PlanestalkerPod on Twitter.
Yes, and my personal Twitter is at WR Benson. Now, I'm not on it very much. I mostly use it to follow Ruth Bader Ginsburg's slam poetry channel. But
you gotta be careful. She might break a hip.
Yeah, she would break a hip. So, but, you know, follow us there. And, of course, you can always follow us on Facebook. This is where we do our weekly show live. Just go to Facebook.com/Planestalker. That's Planestalker without the S at the end. We leave you the S for savings. And like and follow our page there. You can catch our show every week. And I want to remind you guys of something, too. Now, we're getting close to Ikoria. And we're going to start putting our heads together. We're going to have a conference call with our other $5 patrons very soon, within the next 2 weeks. One of the topics we're going to discuss is the giveaway for the Ikoria box. So you definitely want to follow our Facebook page, because almost anything we do is going to have that. We are going to have another box to give away of Ikoria. So, but we're going to have that meeting with Aramis, and I are going to be meeting with our two $5 patrons, or any other patrons that sign up between now and then at the $5 level, to kind of discuss what that plan for that's going to be. So, be subscribing there.
Yep. And finally, you can send us emails, which you guys have been doing a much better job of recently. We really appreciate that.
Yes, absolutely.
And you can use those emails to ask for advice in our Ask Aramis section, where I can offer you tips on anything from deck construction to limited choices. You can also send us emails just to talk about the show, give us suggestions, give a critique if you're not ready to give a review, or, you know, you should leave one anyway. But anyway, if you do want to send us an email, our address is podcast@planestalkerspodcast.com.
Oh, and somebody did email us this week. We'll have to remember. I'm going to mark that for next week. Hey, CJ Penumbra, I just saw it just now, so we will put it up next week. He had a fun question and a serious question. So,
okay.
Yeah, we will definitely do that next week. But I want to remind you guys, too, that we are in the middle of the month, and we are still doing our iTunes podcast review contest, which is where, you know, if you go to if you go to the iTunes page and leave us a review, preferably 5-star, but, you know, if you can't, like, let us know why, but 5 stars help get more eyes on the show. Leave us a review there, and we'll leave them on the show. And in fact, we have 2. NXJPCS left us a review on iTunes. It said, hands down, best MTG pod.
Yes. I like that.
Yes. And Mark WY, so maybe Wyoming. Said, interesting dialogue, great discussion, stay current with standard, banning products, news, and beyond. These guys have fun, casual conversations about Magic, unless Will is amazing. He's the best host ever. He's way better than Aramis, and he's always right, especially when he goes off about people getting cancer and being lit on fire. So I might add a little bit at the end of that one.
Just a smidge.
Yeah, you can probably figure out where I went off the rails there. But those two have been entered into next month's contest. You're entered until you win it. So please leave us some iTunes reviews. And the more reviews you leave us, the more eyes can come on the show. And we really would encourage that. But at this point, you know, we're going to go ahead and start getting ourselves out of here. So we want to thank you very much for being listeners to our podcast and for watching the show every week and for following us this week, Saturday, when we were online. We know some of you guys were there with us. But for Aramis Perez, this is Will Benson saying thank you again for being listeners. We love each and every one of you. And we want to remind you to always save some of your mana untapped, because you never know when you need it. Take care and have a great week. We'll see you next week.